and I drove to the Jewish community campus. And when I pulled into the parking lot, it was 1:08. And I looked at my clock. I remember exactly what time it was. It was 1:08. And I pulled into the parking lot, and I pulled behind into the back around the White Theater, which is where he would have been going in for his audition. And I saw my dad's truck, and the doors were open on the driver's side. The passenger door and the driver's side door were both open on his truck. And I thought, that's a little odd, because I didn't see a person, but I saw the doors open. But as I got closer, I saw my dad's body. He was not moving. My body started to react to that. I mean, at first it was, why are the doors open? And then within just a few seconds, it was like, oh my God, that's my dad's body, and he's not moving. I pushed on the gas harder, and I got to a parking spot, and I just barely pulled in, and I jumped out of the car with my keys in my hand. I don't remember really turning off the car. I just kind of pulled the keys out of the ignition. And I ran to my dad's body, and I'm thinking to myself, Reet must be inside calling an ambulance. Where's Reet? Reet must be inside. I wonder what happened. And so now I'm screaming, what happened? What happened? As I run to his body, and he's in a position that looks like he just fell over and didn't stop himself from falling over, but the way that his arm is situated underneath him. And I got really close to him, and I could tell that he was already deceased. I could tell. And I wanted to go to him further and to touch him and comfort him in some way, but I heard the words, like I got stopped in my tracks, and these words said, your father's in heaven, go find Reet. And I remember just taking this breath. I just remember going, I'm taking this big breath in, and yelling one more time, and I went around the truck. The truck was on my right, and I went around the back of the truck, and there were two men holding Reet in their arms. And I was just bewildered by what was transpiring, because I didn't understand why my dad was dead, and I didn't understand why Reet was in their arms. And I must have screamed at them, because they looked at me and they said, who are you? I don't know if they said, who are you, or they said, who are you? And how they phrased it, but I said to them, that's my father, and I pointed. I said, that's my father, and he's in heaven, and this is my son. And I said, is he alive? I stopped hearing them talk. I don't know if they talked anymore, but at that time, another person grabbed me, and he says that we ran into each other. He and I have talked since, and I felt like he ran into me. And he used to play professional baseball, and I'm not a very big person, so it was like he ran into me. And he kind of squished me down really low, and they were talking. The three men were all talking now, but I wasn't really comprehending what they were saying, and I was looking at the truck. And then I noticed that all the glass had been blown out of the truck, and I heard them say, there's a live shooter in the area. I was like, what? And they said, we have to get you to a safe place because there's a live shooter in the area and we don't know where he is. And so he kind of picked me up then and walked me to the front doors of the White Theater, which now I see are all blown out as well. There's glass everywhere. I'm walking on glass and I'm just looking around and I see bullet holes and glass, and it's starting to dawn on me that there was a shooter and that he shot Dad and that he must have shot Reet, and I didn't know if he'd shot anyone else. And I knew that my dad was already dead, but I didn't know how Reet was. So I sat there, and he put me in a chair, and he asked me if I needed to call someone, who I could call. And I didn't have my phone. My phone was in the truck with Reet and my dad, because Reet had borrowed my phone that morning. And I said, I don't have a phone. And I remember him asking me about numbers, and I was really struggling to think of anything. And I remembered my husband's number, so he dialed it. And I remember him handing me the phone, and my hands were just like an earthquake. They were shaking so uncontrollably that I couldn't dial the phone. So he dialed the number, and I got hold of my husband, and I was able to tell him that my dad had been shot and that my dad was already dead. And I said, Dad's already in heaven. And Lynn was like, what are you talking about? And then I said, and then Reet was shot. And I said, Lynn, you have to come back to the J. I'm at the Jewish Community Campus. And so, and I asked him to call my mom and my brother. And so he had to call my mom. My next step was, it evidently must have started to rain. And so someone took me inside. And I was like, just like this kind of walking zombie. I didn't really have a lot of emotion. And I was just trying to watch Reet and see what they were doing. And he was unconscious, and I could tell he was unconscious, and he was staying unconscious. I could tell all of that. But I didn't see any of his injuries, so I really had no recollection or idea at the time of how serious his injuries were. Just because he was unconscious, I didn't have any kind of fear at that time about him losing his life. So I was ushered inside, and there was a lot of chaos at some point, and my mom got there. I had instructed a woman to cover my dad up. I said, my family's coming and no one else should see my dad the way he looks. And so this woman got my dad covered up with a tarp. And then my mom got there and she said, was that your dad under the tarp? And I said, yes. And I was just, I felt so guilty that I should have been the one driving the truck. I should have been the one driving Reet. I should have not had my dad take him. Maybe I would have parked somewhere differently, or maybe I wouldn't have been there yet. Maybe we would have been late, or so many things ran through my head. Then she said, where's Reet? And I said, what do you mean, where's Reet? He's on the grass. And she said, no, there was an ambulance leaving, but it was going really slowly. And I said, that's not a good sign. And she said, well, what happened to him? And I said, I don't know, but there was a gunman. So I'm assuming he was shot.